Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Continued confusion over deadlines to stop the steal. I'll clarify. Understanding how the left is reacting to the Texas lawsuit. I mean, what is their argument? How does their argument against Texas at all measure up? Now that we know the left has attempted to fraudulently steal the election from Trump by targeting the Democratic-controlled precincts, those with a history of voter and election fraud. By the way, the difference there is voter fraud is an act perpetrated by an individual, while election fraud would be more of a conspiracy-orientated kind of thing that involves election officials and so on, appointed or elected. So let's take a look at the end-game scenarios, 1 through 5, plus one. Yeah, an additional scenario has recently developed. It centers around the fall of the Biden crime family. Indictments impending. The coming war for liberty will likely be fought on our soil. A war with China through their proxy communists planted within our country with possible assistance from Canada and very likely Mexico also. The essential operating principle of divine intervention will be explained. When and how can we expect God to show himself openly? And then if we have time, we'll go into Christmas Wars reprised. I'll have to use my evening visits to address so many of the other things. I mean, it was hard enough when news cycled once a week. But these days, the cycle makes a complete turn every hour. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the
continued
mind.
Continued confusion over deadlines to stop the steal. America is engaged in a real-time civics lesson. We are learning more than most of us ever wanted to know about our Constitution and the intricacies of how our founders provided for an orderly transition of power. Confusion can create serious problems. And so let's clarify one matter that keeps causing distress and that could make us vulnerable to being manipulated by the Democrats. As you know, the devils who are trying to steal this election, deep state operatives all, and our liberties, by the way, are working overtime to decree Biden the president. Constantly, we're being barraged with messages that are designed to get everyone to just, you know, calm down and accept the inevitable fact that Biden has won. For example, they keep referring to Biden as president-elect, which there ought to be a law against that. The media do not have the authority to decide an election. The fact is, unless one of the candidates concedes, or until the Electoral College vote is certified by Congress, no one can be called president-elect officially. So the left keeps pushing these false narratives, something they're good at. You know, like election certification by the states. That ends it. All done. Nope. That does not determine who is elected president. That only directs the states to designate their electors to this or that candidate. This is partly because certifications can be challenged, rescinded, and then even recertified, as we have recently witnessed happen in Georgia. State certification does not finalize the election. Now, the MSM has moved to another date. December 14, and it's all over. Well, that's when the electors are slated from each state, but, well, no, that can be overturned in a number of ways. If the legislature finds cause to intervene and act on their constitutional authority to appoint electors to replace those put in place before, well, they can do that. They have that right. This is something that is developing, by the way, in some of these states where the election results are in question. The next date is January 6. Now, this is when the Electoral College votes, and the Congress then counts the votes to declare the president-elect. And that is a clear declaration of the president-elect. However, even that can be challenged by any elector or by any state legislature and cause the matter to be put before the Congress to decide. What happens in this case is the electors' votes are set aside and the Congress itself acts in its constitutional capacity to install a president and vice president. Another important point to remember is that none of these dates are stipulated by the Constitution, so they could be altered or moved by actions of the Congress. Now we come to the really meaningful date, January 20. This is the only date that is stipulated in the Constitution, and this is the date the term formally ends and a new term begins. It's the only date that is fixed by the Constitution. To change it would require an amendment to the Constitution, which is a process that would require something like a year at the least, probably even more, to complete. Trump continues to be president all the way up until January 20. He has all the powers of the presidency until then. Is there something that could happen between January 6th and January 20 that could disrupt the transfer of power? Well, yeah. And I'm going to discuss that when I lay out the end game scenarios 1 through 5 plus 1. Okay, next. Let's take a look at the Texas lawsuit. The left's main argument against the Texas lawsuit is that, well, there was no proven fraud. I'm going to explain the basis for that spin in a minute. And the court is not going to want to decide the election, they say. You see, the argument boils down to that, and really that alone. I've read about four different liberals' response to the Texas lawsuit, and none of them actually address the argument of the lawsuit. Their idea is that since there was no proven fraud, and the court doesn't have the authority to appoint a president, then this is a non-starter. This isn't going to happen. This is ridiculous, this kind of thing. And I can't even begin to tell you how weak that argument is. First, remember that Gore sued in Florida court to hold back certification of election results, and he won, and it threw the entire election into question. Bush team filed against Gore in 2000, which was a countersuit, and that one ended up before SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court, asking for the earlier case to be reviewed. Well, Gore contested the election results because of perceived problems with the count in Florida. You might remember the big hanging Chad debacle. So, when the Democrats are trying to overturn the results of an election, it's okay to ask the courts to intervene. Anyway, second, SCOTUS did intervene in that case, reviewed that lower court's decision, and reversed it. And that reversal wasn't intended to serve as deciding the election. It was a decision based on the merits of the case legally. It was a legal ruling, not a political one. But for the Dems, you know, everything's political. Second, while the Texas case envisions concerns about all the evidence about voter fraud, you know, and irregularities, the case does not depend on establishing proof that that fraud occurred. You see, the case focuses on constitutional issues that arise from undisputed facts. In other words, the Texas case does not seek the court to rule on whether or not the states in question violated the Constitution. The fact that the states violated the Constitution is an open and an established fact. What the Texas suit is asking the court to do is to recognize the illegality of the vote in those states and require those states to turn it over to their legislatures. Now, the facts are these. The Constitution of the United States stipulates that the legislature of each state shall determine in what manner the electors of that state are appointed to candidates. The legislature of these four states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, have duly ordered the manner in which an election is to proceed and the manner in which electors of each state would be awarded to the winning candidate. Now, this is an undisputed fact, of course. Also undisputed is the fact that election board officials, and in some cases with the cooperation of a governor or Secretary of State there in Georgia, Raffensperger, and so on, who used COVID-19 as a cover to change the laws illegally. I mean, to actually implement rules governing the election in those states that were in some cases directly in contradiction to the laws enacted by their legislative bodies. And in one case, they enacted rules that violated their own state's constitution. Texas has been joined by 19 other states, and the president argue that because the Constitution of the United States gives the power to legislative bodies of each state to direct in what manner electors of that state are apportioned, when Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin made changes in the last minute changes in the rules and the laws governing elections without the consent and participation of their legislative body. They could have done that, but they didn't. In fact, they made such laws and rules that contradicted the laws of those legislative bodies. This violated the Constitution of the United States. And further, this violation undermined the elections in all other states literally overtaking the election by their illegal activity. This is unjust and unfair and just patently illegal. It means that the voters in all other states were not treated equally. So their action further violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. It means that voters in those states who were adverse to the voters in the harmed states got an unfair and illegal advantage in this election because their election board, governor, and so on violated the Constitution. This would seem to be a pretty open and shut case. SCOTUS rules on law, not on politics. SCOTUS should be concerned, A, with the fact that the Constitution was not followed by these states, and B, that the result of these new rules was a clear infringement on the rights of other states under the Equal Protection provision. Because categories of people in those states got to vote and had their vote counted who were not allowed to be counted in all the other states. Now, when you read the reaction of the states to these allegations, the essential facts of the case are not argued. At least that's what I've seen so far. This is the reason you never hear any of them on the left say, no, Texas is incorrect in their allegations. The election in these states actually did proceed according to the state's constitutional authority and according to the laws stipulated by the legislature of those states. It is clear this would be a losing argument for them because they know that isn't true and they know the fact that it isn't true is obvious and apparent to all. Now, here's where it gets nuanced, and you need to pray that the clever snakes defending these states, namely Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, will not succeed to bamboozle the court. The defendants are essentially saying the state legislatures did not take action or intervene in the matter, and so it's an internal state issue that is none of the business of other states. And they're going to go all 10th Amendment on us here. In other words, this is our problem, you butt out. Now, if it's argued that it compromised the integrity of the election results for the entire nation, which is a matter of critical concern and interest of every other state, well, the answer is no proof of fraud has been brought forward. In other words, they're claiming there's been no real harm. Now, this is one of the reasons the lower courts have refused to hear, to even hear, the evidence presented on the issue of voter or election fraud. They know the evidence is there and that it is compelling. So, the Democrats don't want that evidence to get before the general public. The deep state-controlled media and social media have blocked every effort to inform the general public about the plethora of evidence that has been compiled by the diligent work of Giuliani and Sidney Powell, and several others, by the way. Because there has not been a hearing in a court of law, followed by a ruling on that evidence, the left goes on saying no evidence of fraud has been brought forward or presented, this kind of stuff. You see, you have to learn how to listen to lying Democrats. You have to add the clarifying terms that they leave out. They are actually saying no evidence of fraud has been presented in court and no court has ruled that there is any evidence proving voter or election fraud. That's what they're actually saying, but they leave off part of it so they can lie and get away with it. Well, Giuliani is a fighter and he is sharp. He and Jenna took their evidence directly to the state legislatures. Yeah. This provided for a public hearing of the evidence. So it's beginning to leak out there, but even that was blocked by MSM and deep state controlled social media. However, the important thing to us right now is that the legislatures of these states are hearing the evidence and they're finding it compelling. So, because our team got a chance to put this evidence in front of the legislatures of interest, Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan, and now I think they're doing this also in Wisconsin, guess what has happened? Those legislative bodies have also joined with Texas in their suit against their own state. Those who oppose the Texas lawsuit hope the court will be intimidated by their arm bruising from the twisting and bribery efforts and blackmail efforts to bully and to threaten the court into backing away from the case. You can know that's what's going on behind the scenes. This is the most important thing to pray about going forward right now. You must understand that these jurists are under enormous political and personal pressure to refuse to take this case. Meanwhile, the argument will be the internal affairs of the state is their own business and the complaint is moot because no harm. There's no proven fraud. The Texas suit purposely avoids getting drawn into the quagmire of having to prove fraud, although they do allude to it. And that's not because there is no proof, but because such a case would take weeks, maybe even months, to prosecute. But that depends. Texas, et al., could opt to zero in on one or two smoking gun examples, but if the court will rule strictly according to law, I don't see how it could legitimately rule against Texas and the 19 states joining her. Clearly, the Constitution was violated. So pray SCOTUS will be protected, will not succumb to the intense efforts to bully them into submission to the deep state. You see, they pressure the court on the backside, and then on the front side, they try to provide cover for the court to hide under so they can do their bidding, providing cover for the court from accusations of miscarriage of justice that will certainly follow any failure on their part to rule according to law. Hold on to the break. My dear friends, I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today, and Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World.
Prisoner wishes to say a word.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. We know the left has attempted to fraudulently steal the election from Trump. Only a fool would actually believe otherwise. Biden said out loud in front of God and everybody that he and Obama put together the most expansive, inclusive voter fraud organization in American political history. And he was not kidding. As for voter fraud, we don't have time to unpack all of it. Just look at that video taken in the State Farm Arena. I read a big rebuttal of that as evidence. And I'm telling you, folks, that video has them on the ropes. The rebuttal attempted to reinterpret what we see clearly, but it's really strange how they keep talking about seeing the whole video when you see all of it. But then they leave out significant segments themselves. And they never show any video proof that supports their explanation. I mean, it's funny. It's like, see the segment that the Trump team didn't show you? Well, you see? So what is it in what you're showing me that they didn't show me that changes anything about what we saw? And guess what? It's nothing. Nothing happens in those segments that would change anybody's understanding of what you could see is going on there. So when that sort of thing is tried, you know, by the opposition, you know they are in deep trouble and they have nothing. Add to that the 700 affidavits of eyewitness accounts testifying to fraud and irregularities. And then this from Georgia State Records, friend. Did you hear me say that I'm going to lay before you information that comes out of the state of Georgia's own records? 2,560 felons voted. It's not disputed. This is admitted. 66,247 underage voters voted, not disputed. 2,423 voted, were not registered. 1,043 voters gave a P.O. box address. That's illegal. 4,926 voters who were registered to vote in another state, for heaven's sake. 15,700 moved out of the state before the election. 40,279 voted who had moved to Georgia but failed to register. And anywhere from 30 to 40,000 lacked a proper signature verification before the vote was counted. And all of that is illegal. And by Georgia's own admission, that would account for over 130,000 votes. In the Texas lawsuit, 170,000 votes in Michigan cannot be connected to a registered voter. Are you kidding me? Remember, the trick the left uses is that, well, this does not prove fraud because, and here's the kicker, because a court of law has not ruled it so. And friend, that is only the tiniest tip of the massive iceberg of evidence that we have. And their Titanic, my friend, is heading straight for it. In fact, they've hit it. Many who realize it are scampering about looking for a lifeboat they can push a Republican out of and jump into while the MSM are playing autumn. Because, you know, when someone requested Nearer My God today, they had a vote and the Democrats decided to vote God out. Har, har. And so anyway, here are the end game scenarios, 1 through 5, with an additional one that's developed recently. That centers on the fall of the Biden crime family, with indictments pending. End game scenario number 1, state courts rule the election results were tainted by fraud and order the precincts where the fraud occurred to either redo the election or decertify their election results. And that boat has already sailed. Number 2, the legislatures in each of these states step up, call foul, and appoint electors. And that could still happen. Number 3, the Supreme Court receives the Texas case or some other and rules in favor of the suit. This would create a scenario in which throw it back to the state legislatures to decide how the electoral votes of that state will be apportioned, or it could go on to Congress. And then, so let's go to number 4. Congress receives the burden of electing the president and vice president, which is the constitutional power they have in a case like this one. The House elects the president, the Senate, the vice president, and the House, each state receives one vote. Presently, in terms of state representation, not in terms of numbers of representatives, but in terms of state representation, the Republicans have the majority. And then the Senate is held by Republicans. So anyway, number 5, Trump invokes the Insurrection Act, rounds up the named culprits who have attempted to perpetrate a coup by stealing our election in the United States, and orders a redo on the national election. And now number 6, the case against the Biden family is coming out and moving forward. Biden is, let's say, apprised of the fact that he is about to be indicted, along with his son and brother. Biden makes a deal to concede for, in order to remain out of jail. Trump becomes president. All right, let's talk about the coming war for liberty. Will likely be fought on our soil. A war with China through their proxy communists who are planted within the country, with the possible assistance coming in from Canada and Mexico. Now, I hate to impugn my dear Canadian friends, because all of my friends in Canada would never put up with any of this nonsense. But there's a deep state operation going on in Canada, too, just like there is in America. The Navy has deployed, that's the United States Navy, has deployed the USS Carl Vinson off the West Coast, floating about in the waters near Oregon-Washington border. The USS Essex is floating off the coast of San Francisco. The Theodore Roosevelt, along with its strike force, is patrolling the coast of Connecticut. And the Gerald R. Ford is off the coast of New Jersey. The USS Iwo Jima is off the coast of South Carolina. And then this, along with a significant movement of ground troops, most of them centering on Ellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Now, one would think these movements anticipate an attack on the continental United States. Some think that when Trump is declared the winner of the election, the DNC's next move, its fallback, will be to call on the UN to attack America and depose Trump. And others believe Soros and company and the DNC will launch their militant arm of the BLM, Antifa, and the militants among the BLM, these mobs to attack the streets of America in those blue states. From what I've seen from the Democrats today, I wouldn't be surprised if we shouldn't be prepared for both. And then add to that an effort to assassinate Trump and Pence or their families or both. Please pray. These people will do anything. You've heard me say that over and over again. Hope you're hearing me or you're praying accordingly. I heard some suggest that China is behind this whole thing. That China has set up, we know that China is involved. China has set up operations in Canada, however. Get a hold of Ezra Levant. He's brought out some disturbing revelations from internal documents he's received from the Canada government, showing Trudeau inviting China to establish a military presence in Canada, or as much as. They're doing joint exercises and things like this. Remember, Trudeau said China is the country he admires most, and he explained why. It's because their dictatorship allows China to turn their economy around on a dime. He admires their dictatorship. So we have naval power in the China Sea. So, here's one of those shows where I really wish I had an hour. Okay. The essential operating principle of divine intervention, when and how we might expect God to show himself openly. All right, follow closely here. God has ordained government officials to serve as ministers for us for good. Romans 13:1-6. He expressly gave this to men, Genesis 9:6 and Romans 13:1 to 6, along with several other passages. Their primary responsibility is to execute wrath upon evildoers and to reward the good. Now, we understand these words, good and evil, in the context of the Bible where they're used in this passage. So, they take those meanings here. Or, in other words, government is ordained to protect the good, as the word good is understood in the Bible, and to execute wrath upon, well, the Biden and Clinton crime families because, I mean, the evildoers, right, as the Bible defines them. You know, people who commit crimes against the people, who betray the good and sell them out into the power of evil men and women for their own personal gain. Yeah, like the Biden crime family. We wonder sometimes, where is God in these situations? So friend, let me explain this. God gave the sword to us, so that is we the people, and we the people need to make sure it's used and how it's used. America distributes power over a pretty wide array of offices in the United States, all of them ultimately answerable to we the people. This provides for a series of what we call checks and balances. If one level of power fails, we turn to the next, and so on. We have allowed many evil men and women to creep into power in our land, and now we're paying for it. As each level or branch or department of power fails to execute wrath upon the evildoers as God ordained, well, God then waits for us to launch the next level or the next group to respond to it and take care of it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so we've organized it in such a way, God's letting it play out. He's letting the authorities in place have a chance to do their job. So the state legislatures fail, and then the courts fail, and then the Department of Justice fails thanks to Barr and company. The FBI fails thanks to Wray and company. And yeah, forget the CIA. That place is a joke. They're the ones running this operation. And finally, the SCOTUS fails, and then the Congress fails. So finally, it comes down to one man, the only man the entire nation of we the people elected to defend, to represent us, to defend the Constitution from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. So all of the other institutions and organizations have fallen into the power of darkness, and we got one guy standing there who has the power to stand between us and tyranny. And that's the last line of defense. If that fails, then there will be an open show of wrath from the Almighty. And that's what the deep state, by the way, had in mind for us with Hillary. Imagine Hillary plus COVID. They were going to launch COVID anyway. Imagine what would happen. This nation would be in hell already. But God raised up Trump. And Trump, pray for him, Trump will not bend to the deep state. God is using him to stand between us and tyranny. Pray for him and his family, Pence and his family, all the faithful in his cabinet, Kayleigh McEnany and all the rest, all of his supporters, because my friend, we are at war with China, who is using their proxy deep state operatives inside the United States to attack us from within, and their deep state Canadian operatives, and very likely also in Mexico, I just haven't finished running that down yet, to coordinate an attack that will very possibly go physical if they can't win it politically. And that's true, by the way, whether it would be Trump or Biden who wins. The difference is with Trump, America will fight and stand for our liberties. Well, with Biden, he'll just bow deeply to Xi Jinping and surrender America to communist China. But we have the ultimate weapon, prayer. Full armored prayer. Join us Sunday, 9:30, 10:45 a.m., and then 5 p.m., I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 or go to brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to God's War 2020.com.